Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome into the Ciroc Point After. You're hanging out with the Cajun Cannon right before Christmas Eve, folks. After the Saints lose 34-0 Monday Night Football. No Christmas good tidings here, Cajun Cannon. We thought it was going to be a rough matchup. 14.5 points wasn't enough from the odds makers to cover this game.
No, I think the Saints even make Scrooge or the Grinch look good. boy, you want to talk about the poo-pooing your Christmas. It's like, man, I'm going to do something else. No, I was talking to my wife. No, she goes, I'm not watching this. Watch the beginning. But did you see how the ebb and flow of the game? No. You don't want to ruin your holiday cheer. What are you going to cheer for? You sure in hell ain't going to cheer for the Saints. What? That was embarrassing. I did not even describe it. It's so embarrassing that I try to be positive. You know, I'm an optimist instead of a pessimistic person. But there ain't no way. It started last week. And the damn glass is half empty.
There were more positives last week, that's for sure.
Because of the comeback. But yeah. That first half, it's like, no, it's half empty. It's not half full. So I don't know how you describe it, blow it up, whatever. We got to tweak this, tweak that. How about you tweak nothing? How about you just start all over, whatever?
Yeah. Left the page, right?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's so frustrating with Saints fans because it is what it is, and we have to accept where we're at right now. And I said this at halftime. It is so bad that we were scoreless in the first half now for consecutive games. You got to go back to 1997, Mike Ditka. That was the last time that you went scoreless in back-to-back games in the first half. I'm looking like, hey, you want... I don't know. We look like the Bad News Bears, a football version. I mean, there was 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Colin Saunders tips the ball up. Great play. Looks like he's going to intercept it. And then Alante Taylor knocks it out of his hands. I mean, it was almost comical. You're looking at that. You got to be freaking kidding me. And if you look at it, and Jeff Duncan has said that, you have to look at who you're beating. It is the NFL, pros versus pros. But to be relevant, don't you have to beat winning teams? Because don't winning teams go to the playoffs? Well, the Saints currently have played 10 teams with a winning record, and they won in 9.
Woof.
I'm glad one of the wins was against Atlanta in week 10. But, but look at Atlanta. All of a sudden, they change quarterbacks, and they come with a big win, and Tampa Bay. So I'll be interested. Maybe, we don't play Atlanta anymore. Maybe we can ruin Tampa Bay. But some Saints fans might say, oh, no, we don't care about Tampa Bay. We'd rather have Tampa in the playoffs than Atlanta. But when you think about it and where we're at right now, which is totally unacceptable, this is the fourth consecutive season now the Saints have missed the postseason. The last time they failed to make the playoffs for four consecutive seasons was 2002 to 2005. Was that the heyday with Coach Haslett or something? That was before Sean Payton, Drew Brees got here. So I'm just telling you where we're at right now as an organization, whether Mickey Loomis or whoever. Ms. Gale wants to be optimistic. Dennis Slauson, he's going to look at the bottom line money. And obviously, we got to keep that dome full, but you got to give him something to cheer for. So Mickey and then Greg Bensel and part of probably relation on how you're going to spend this. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. I mean, the bottom line is you have to win. You're in a production business, and you might say, oh, we're dealing with all these injuries. Yes, I understand all that. But how do you handle adversity? Look at the Lions. Everybody's hurt on their defense. Aren't they still in the hunt? Maybe might represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, you can't. And I'm not saying that doesn't come into play, but you can never, ever use that as an excuse. It was so bad at one point, Stephen, and you had acknowledged and made me aware of this, to show you how even the Packer fans are disinterested in this boring-ass game. This might be one of the most boring Monday Night Football games in Monday Night Football history. I've been part of games on Monday Night Football, part of a shutout, but we did the shutting out. We wasn't shut out. 1991, we beat the Raiders 27-0, but never got shut out. That's embarrassing because the whole nation's watching. Well, to show you how the Packer fans, who they love their Packers, the cheeseheads, they were so disinterested that the PA announcer at Lambeau Field had to get on the loudspeaker, and the Packers on offense, instead of watching their own team and cheering what they're doing, they're chanting, "The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck."
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers are on offense.
On our offense. Oh, participate in the game. Don't worry about the Bears still suck. To show you, we suck, but they have an even more suckier teams. That's how bad. Like Charlie was saying, it don't matter if we lose the rest of our season, how you try to move up in the draft. No, look how sorry the Giants were. We saw when we played the Giants that game. We had to, you know, you block a kick, whatever. Oh, we won. Then with the Raiders, I don't know what's going to happen in the Dome against the Raiders. So, no, we're bad right now. You know, I said, we kind of like, we're not too bad, but we're not too good. We're kind of hovering in the middle. Right now we in, 2021, I think. Just look where we're going to pick in the draft. And it just goes to show you, the bad teams in NFL this year, they are bad. You know, you truly have the haves and the have-nots when you look at overall in the NFL draft. Now, the Saints have never been shut out on Monday Night Football. After 53 Monday Night Football games, I guess there's always a first.
There you go.
And it actually happened. And then you would think, even with the rule changes and all the points they scored, you probably get a shutout now and then, or maybe a handful. Well, the Saints became the first team to be shut out this season. Don't you have to score to win? In other words, in theory, the Packers could have got a safety, and we'd have lost 2-0, like a baseball score. So you got to score to win, and we got shut out. Now, if you look at it, it's the largest shutout on Monday night since 2005. Steve, you made me aware of this. Since 2005, so that was the Katrina year. The largest shutout on Monday Night Football since 2005, the Seahawks, when the Eagles were probably, they probably were the Feagles. I don't know. they lost 42-0.
Crying Eagles.
Yeah, so you have had shutouts on a Monday night, but you just never want to be a part of that because the nation's watching. You don't want to be shut out because it's not a regional game, Sunday night, Monday night. If you're going to get shut out on prime time, give me a Thursday, but never a Sunday and Monday night because that's a lot of history there, football that people won't forget. And to think how quickly things can change. Well, I said this in the pregame. It was September. That wasn't that long ago, not even a year and a half of 2023. We were winning 17-0. 17-0, like we were getting shut out. We were shutting out the Packers in September of 1923 at Lambeau Field. Well, you know, starting, going into the fourth quarter, we were winning 17-0. The first game Jordan Love started, they came back and they beat us. Was that 18-17?
Brutal.
So, no, you could say, like, man, that was a hard-fought game and all. There was hard fought nothing about this game. No, it was simply embarrassing and nothing to write home about. If you look at it now in primetime games, like I'm saying, okay, why would they put the Saints on primetime next year? If I'm an executive, now maybe they might be forced to put you on Thursday Night Football, but why would they put the Saints on Sunday and Monday Night Football? Drew Brees ain't playing no more than Sean Payton. We ain't scoring. It ain't entertaining. You know, we used to be like on five games all of a sudden, prime time all the time. We might not be on any. We might be hanging out with like the Jaguars or whoever you think is that. They're going to put a New York, the Giants, just because it's New York. But Jacksonville's a small market. We're a small market. Why are they going to put us on prime time when they can look at this? We've been outscored in prime time games versus the Chiefs, you remember? Monday Night Football. versus the Broncos, Sean Payton Thursday night, and the Packers Monday night. We've been outscored 93-23. 93-23. No, that's not even close. That's outright embarrassing when you think about it. That are we even in the hunt? I mean, it's just not getting it done what it takes to even be relevant, like in the NFC South. You know, if we were competing right now, I don't know whether you're Tampa Bay or the Falcons or vice versa, and then they're right home about the NFC South team right now. No, the NFC North, yes. Come on. When you look at the Lions, you look at the Packers, you look at the Vikings, yeah, that's where you want to be in that kind of competition.
All three playoff bound.
Yes, all three playoff bound. But you look at the NFC South, somebody has to win it. And who knows, it might go to the last game because the Falcons, they own the tiebreaker. You know, Tampa Bay's in trouble. All of a sudden, they had a big game. Who did they crush? They crushed the Chargers. And then 2 weeks ago, was it? I think it was the Chargers, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then look at that embarrassing game they just had against the Cowgirls. What of all teams? Come on.
Tampa Bay. You got good Baker and bad Baker.
Yeah, so looking at how kind of this game unfolded, I'm trying to look at some positive, but...
not many.
Time of possession. No, they had the ball 15 minutes more, basically almost 15 minutes more than the Saints. 24-14 on first downs. You look at third down, because you look at third down, fourth down. Then it seemed like the Packers, even if it's fourth down, to hell with it, we going for it. I don't know. They went for fourth down four times. They were 4-for-4, 100%.
They can't stop us.
Yeah, exactly. It might be fourth and five, fourth and one, fourth and two. Eh. We're going for it. So they end up, that's terrible in the Saints defense. If you count third down and fourth down, they were 9-of-16, the continued drives. We were 4-of-11, 36%. We've been hovering at 30% on third down offense, which is terrible. You got to be at least mid-40s to be worth your salt. Total yards, more than 2-to-1. We had 196. They had 404 yards. Now, this didn't surprise me. And Coach Rizzi and the Saints defense, they knew this. It's not just Josh Jacobs running the ball, even though he only had 13 carries. He was so far ahead. They didn't have to use him as a workhorse, but he averaged 5.3 yards a carry. He ended up with 69 yards. But the key is, you know, a leopard don't change his spots. Well, the damn Saints run defense don't change their spots. You could count on, I don't know who's even the running backs for the Raiders. I'm going to have to look at all that when we get ready to play them. But I guarantee you the Raiders and Tampa Bay are going to average 5 yards a carry. It's just where we're at right now. You know, you need to be holding opponents like under 4 yards, 3.8 if you're truly getting it done like we've done in the past. But today, they average 4.8 yards a carry, and we gave up coming into the game 4.9. So when I round it off, that's 5 yards a carry, which is not getting it done. They ran the ball 39 times with Unit Packers, who do had 188 yards rushing. And you know how it was promising? When you look at that turnover margin. They say, Abear, how many times you talk about the damn turnover? You know, are we taking it away or are we protecting it? And if you truly at your best, no, that matters, playoff game, or if the game's hard fought and it's closely fought. And you know, last year that was mind-boggling. We were plus 11. I don't know how. You know, just look at, Steve, I want you to look up the teams this year. If somebody's hovering around plus 10 or better, if they're not playoff relevant.
Yeah, Charlie and I were looking at this in the pregame show, and surprisingly, one of the teams that was up there in the plus-minus ratio was the Bears, and it was like, whoa, that's kind of, plus 8.
Okay, but I'm talking about double digits. Okay, look who, tell me who's double digit.
Plus 20, the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, you wonder why where the Bills are at?
Plus 17, Pittsburgh Steelers. Plus 11, Houston Texans. Plus 10, Packers, Chargers, Vikings. Those are all the double-digit teams. Sorry.
Okay, you see who's relevant. Well, the Saints are plus 11. Well, I thought, man, how we started off the season, we were plus 4. Remember that? Oh, we're trending in the right direction.
Sure.
You remember the Eagles? The Eagles, we took the ball away 3 times. We had a 5-point lead with under 2 minutes, and we run into each other. and they scored a touchdown. You got to be the bad news football Bears. I mean, but we're Saints. I don't know.
Bad news Saints.
Yeah, but bad news Saints, however you're going to describe it. I mean, but now, Steve, to go to show you, we're minus two for the game. We came into the game plus one.
And
so now we're now minus two for the game. Now we minus one for the season. And I said this in the pregame. And we had talked about this under Coach LaFleur, Matt LaFleur. I love that French name. Since he's taken over the Green Bay Packers, you know what their record is at home when they win the turnover battle? Not just, it just had to be plus one. They were plus two. They're now 25-1. 25 wins and one loss. So Coach Rizzi even.
Why are you always talking about the turnover margin, Bobby?
I like that. 25-1, Matt LaFleur and the Packers at home. I know Coach Rizzi was aware of that, but it right. didn't make a difference. We were aware of that, but we didn't do nothing about it. We were minus one for the season. Well, minus two for the game, minus one.
There were chances.
For the season. Yeah, we were chances. Colin Saunders, that play, I mean, he bats the ball up. He's getting intercepted, and Alante Taylor knocks it out of his hand. I mean, you're on the same team. But you don't have no vision, or you just wanted to selfishly get a pick for you? No, if your teammate's there to catch it, I don't care if he's a lineman. You let him catch it first, and then you go block for him. You don't try and take the ball away from him. That's what it looked like. Just look at that highlight. And then the damn drop back. I've never seen this in my life. So what is Spencer Rattler, Moses? Like he was parting the Red Sea. All of a sudden, he brings up both his hands, and he just makes them go wide apart, and then he just drops the ball.
Where's the ball, right?
Where's the ball? Like I said, wait. Something must have happened. And then you look at it over and over again. Maybe I definitely probably slipped out of his hand, but it looked like he just dropped the ball and he's parting the Red Sea, and then the Packers end up recovering. I've never seen nothing like that. That looked like an Aaron Brooks throw going backwards. You know, like when you get spun around, you're disoriented. Oh, we just throw this thing wherever it goes. No, that was a play that's not going to be on the highlight reel for Spencer Rattler when he's showing the grandkids. On that particular play. Now, I thought, I said this in the pregame, and you can utilize him, Foster Moreau. I think Foster Moreau has had a fine season this year. I don't care who's the coach, Foster Moreau's on the team next year. You know, like, get rid of everybody. No, you can't get rid of everybody. Foster Moreau got targeted three times, two catches. He had a 16.5-yard average. That 21-yard catch, I guarantee you, Spencer Rattler probably said, I want to say, you know what, but he said, screw it. And he just threw it.
It was a God's plan throw.
Yeah, I don't know how he got the ball in there. Then that was just for, and then Spencer, I mean, Foster Moreau concentrated, came up with the catch. That was like the highlight, the same thing. Now, that was as good as it gets in the NFL, and Foster Moreau was part of that. And I thought, look, Spencer Rattler had a quarterback rating. Had said this, I got to find this in my notes. See, I mean, you remember what I had said before the game that when he has targeted, when Spencer Rattler has targeted Foster Moreau, he had a QB rating, a perfect QB rating. He was like 8 for 8. Well, he had three targets, so now he's 10 for 11, throwing the ball to Foster Moreau. So if Spencer Rattler's playing against the Raiders and Foster Moreau, that's his old team, I guarantee you Foster Moreau wants to do well. But watch Derek Carr. I don't know what kind of man he is, and he's a good man. I think Derek Carr is a great man. I think he's a good family man and all that. But it's a tough business, the NFL. But I know one thing. He wants to beat the Raiders. I can tell you, I don't know what his broke hand and all that. Come on, you're being well compensated. Oh, we're going to save you for next year. Save you for what? Next year? A different coaching staff might want to go in a different direction, and they might eat that money. Didn't Sean Payton and the Broncos eat all that money? Well, let Russ cook. Oh, he ain't going to be cooking in Denver. Now he's cooking good in Pittsburgh. Now he might have to leave. But that's what I'm telling you. Derek Carr, how he left with the Raiders, I'm telling you, he'll want to beat them. But, I mean, he's playing inside. It's not like, oh, my hand's throbbing. It's cold and all that. So I'd be surprised if Derek Carr does not play against the Raiders. Because I think, now he would never admit that in public. Oh, it's no revenge and all that. He would just say like, oh, just another game. I want to be here for my teammates. You know, that old BS.
What if we're dealing with Shane Lemieux at center?
Listen, what's wrong with McCoy now?
Elbow.
It's like between the Pelicans and the Saints and Saints, the Pelicans.
We got some voodoo on us.
Why is everybody hurt all the time? It's just mind-boggling. I'm going off on a different tangent on that. But that just bugs me. What? Kendre Miller, okay? Here's your chance. Kendre Miller, be the running back that be all you could be. You know, be all you could be. We want to cheer for you. Okay, now he had a nice run of 10 yards. He had a nice one, that one run. You think, oh, maybe. But I don't know. He ran eight times. He averaged 1.9 yards a carry. I mean, slow your roll. Just go play and do something before you can say you're on the level of Alvin Kamara. Come on. Don't even speak Alvin Kamara's name. I mean, Alvin Kamara's all-time leading guy back in Saints history. You're not Mark Ingram. You're not Deuce McAllister. You're just another running back. You're a little better than Jordan Mims. And ironically, Jordan Mims had more yards than you this game. And he ran only four times. You ran for eight. He had 16 yards. You had 15. Jordan Mims. Who Jordan Mims? Fresno State? Come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, slow your roll, Kendre Miller. Hopefully you're humble enough now to realize you got to work your behind off to be the back you want to be. You don't have to say nothing. Just go out there and do it. So he has a ways to go. Now, before we go to the break, and we're going to get to the callers, defensively, I don't know. Sometimes it looks like we wanted to tackle, and other times we not. I mean, Honey Badger ended up with five tackles. But a few times, I don't know if he wanted to tackle, if that makes sense. DeMario Davis, he's old, but he had 10 total tackles, 6 unassisted, a quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. I thought Collins Saunders, he ended up having 4 tackles, quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss, a couple of passes defended, that he was playing hard. You can count on every game JT Gray is going to have a special teams tackle. No, he would start for every team. Now, you say, who's valuable? You know, like I always talk about when McCoy's well, he could start like a center or guard for all the teams. Well, every team I want JT Gray as a backup safety and be like all pro level special teams. So we do, not everybody sucks on the team. I'm telling you, it's not quite that bad, but there's nothing to write home about. But JT Gray is not in that number who you can count on. I thought Cam Jordan. The older veteran, not that he built upon what he did last week, but he had a tackle for a loss. He had 5 total tackles. Chase Young was going through the motions. He wants to be compensated next year. So realistically, nothing to write home about. Pete Warner, I think, is an overachiever. He looks like a good All-American boy. I look at some of these Ohio State players like Bozeman. Who's this Ohio State they got now all tatted up on the one arm? Now, that looks like a bad son of a gun. I'm like, Pete Werner don't look like that. He's an Ohio State player. I say, well, we need one of those badass Ohio State players, kind of like a Boza or something. But I'm just saying, Pete Werner's a good guy, but I've seen him miss a couple of tackles. Although he ended up with 9 total tackles. So he's going to have the effort there. Amadi's an overachiever. We're not paying him nothing. So he's a backup, and he's forced to play right now. I think, he has a ways to go. Kool-Aid, I don't know how cool he is right now. He might have to go out and get his real name until he does something. No, when you're a stud, then you could be called Kool-Aid. I'm just going to call you Mr. McKinstry or something. Oh, I don't even know what's Kool-Aid's real name. You know what? When I see him, I'm going to call him by his real name until when you...
Jaquincy.
I'm calling him Jaquincy. Jaquincy McKinstry, that's your name. And you can become Kool-Aid when you do something in a Saints uniform.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't done nothing in no Saints uniform. Well, what has Kool-Aid done? Really, have we even hit on the draft since 2017? Think about that. Brian Brzee. I see on the goal line, Brian Brzee's knocked 3 yards back in the end zone. Now, Brian Brzee can rush the passer, but I don't know. If you're a high draft pick, can you do everything? I don't know. Be dominant. You don't want to be a one-trick pony. How about you play good first, second, third? How about you play good against the run and you can rush the passer. So if I'm Brian Brazee, you want to be the best pro that you can be in the offseason, I'm working on, hey, I know how to rush the passer. I'm worried about, I don't care if they double team me, I ain't getting knocked back, or I'm gonna work on my technique to stuff the run. The linebackers will love you for that. So I'm trying to, if you're trying to better your craft and be the best you can be, and Brian Brazee, what, he has 7.5 sacks? That's right. That's outstanding. He's up there with Cameron Hayward amongst interior defensive linemen. But you know what? But team said, well, let's just run at him. Because you can have players, they can be that one-trick pony, they can track you down, but then you want to run. Who's the guy with the Cowgirls from Penn State?
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons. Okay, him? See, that dude can run, and he's a player. But what the Packers did last year, I'm running right at him. I'm running right at him. So I'm telling you, that's why you might say, you know, you get all the glory, you get the sacks and tackles for loss and all, but, okay, can you hold your own when they're coming right at you? It's not going to be nothing sexy and all that, or like 0 yards or 1 yard gain, but you're not opening up a big hole. So that's why if you truly want to be the best of the best, that's what you have to do. I mean, if you want to be recognized as like, whoa, we've got to pack a lunch against him because it's first, second, or third down. But right now we have a long ways to go. This is embarrassing. I thought I kind of flip-flopped at the beginning of the week. It was 13.5, 14.5. You know, we do the pick six. And I go, I don't even think the Saints are going to cover. But I thought they would score.
Well, your initial instincts were right there.
I thought they would score. And then today, tonight, you know, we do have the Silver Slipper tomorrow night. We're going to be second-guessing on Christmas Eve. We're going to be out there. I said, no, I think the Saints could cover it at 14.5. So I said, Packers 27, Saints 13. Then all of a sudden, it was 27-0. I said, Steve, look, I got the Packers right, but the Saints can't score. They can't score anything. But, no, anytime you get shut out in the NFL and the rules are skewed towards the offense having success, that's bad. That's bad and nothing to write home about. And right now, the Saints in their stocking, when they go home, it should be old school. They should just have a lump of coal. Ain't no presents. Ain't no presents. You got enough money. Ain't no presents. Sorry. It has to hurt you that bad when you don't win. Or you're going to be like, I'm going to get paid no matter what. You can't have that attitude because I'm telling you, it won't last. It has to be as painful. I don't care if it's the holidays. Now you got to fake the funk around your kids if you got kids and all that. And then, you know, I'll be joyful, but then really it's eating you up inside. And then, you know, you really don't want to be in a conversation because you're so upset what just occurred. Because if you want to live this certain lifestyle and all that, then you got to produce or you got to go do something else. But right now the Saints team, they earn in their stocking by the chimney a lump of coal. And that's where we're at right now.
I'm sure it's a quiet plane ride home tonight.
Well, hopefully it's private. I don't know. Some of these young kids, though, they act the same way, whether they win or lose. They get on the plane, and then did we win the game? Look, it's like they have now you have to have a short-term memory. Now, you can't dwell on something. Now, if it's like, the 24-hour rule. But, yeah, it has to affect you. I might get in trouble. If I'd be a coach and because I've seen some of the players with Coach Barr and all that, and if you cutting up and how you, how it affects you, when you win, and you win, yes, you should celebrate a win. But when you lose, what are you cutting up for? It should bother you. And if it don't bother you, I don't want that dude on my team. He got to go somewhere else. It doesn't mean that much to him.
Heading to break here on the Ciroc Point After. All your calls lined up, we'll be getting to right after it. First, though, let's take a 10-second pause and let's 10 stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Ciroc Point After, go until 1 a.m. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Be right back with more after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. The Saints falling 34-0 to the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football. I don't know what to do with this read, guys. The day after the Saints score a touchdown, get free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. So is that null and void for tomorrow with no TD for the Saints?
Yeah, so I think McDonald's, they're a big enough corporation that they would have no problem. Okay, if we score a touchdown against the Raiders, you get two free French fries. When you if you score what a touchdown, you get one. What was the deal?
Free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. So
okay, so we score a touchdown against the Raiders in the McDonald's app.
And you get two free fries.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. McDonald's wouldn't have a problem with that. Come on. They barred a Who Dat Nation.
Just
come
tell
on.
Them the cannon sent you.
We need some hope. We need a little bit of hope here. Come on.
Getting into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, it's 504-260-1870. Appreciate all you callers as we get ready for Christmas Eve. Captain in Pensacola Beach, you are up first here on the Ciroc Point After. What up, Captain?
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas, Captain, from Pensacola Beach, a big part of the Who Dat Nation, the Florida Panhandle.
That's right. The captain's holding down the panhandle for you, Bobby.
All right.
That was, I think the word you're looking for there is emasculation, Bobby. You were looking for a word. That's
right,
what
it
was
right.
tonight.
No, it was like you shocked, you embarrassed, and you want to be upbeat for the holidays. But boy, the talk about depressing. I'm sure, Captain. Now, you know, it's our job. We got to watch it. And I guarantee a lot of loyal Who Dats, they said, enough's enough. I'm not watching this. I'm going to do something else. And it's prime time. Now think about that. That's what's so embarrassing.
Yeah, we've been embarrassed on prime time a lot, Bobby. But what I really wanted to point out was there has been a downturn in this organization since Sean Payton left. And honestly, I point directly at the GM, look at the decisions that have been made between Dennis Allen and then retaining Dennis Allen after 2 years not making the playoffs, and then seven losses, trying to get rid of Dennis Allen. And let's not forget the Deshaun Watson debacle. Thank God the Browns came in and took him. I just think that there is, when people come to me and ask me my opinion, like, oh, is it the coaching? Is it the play? I'm like, no. This is on the GM. Sean Payton was his right-hand man. He hit gold with that guy. And ever since Sean Payton has left, there has been a deterioration of this organization. And I'm scared, Bobby. I mean, do you have faith in him to make a good decision on the next head coach? Because I'm kind of losing faith. What is your thought?
Well, I have faith in Mickey Loomis if he has a different role. And what I mean by different role, like could be a liaison or a representative for Ms. Gale and go to the owner's meeting. Kind of like I've said this example before, like Mr. McKay, Rich McKay with the Falcons. He was at once the GM. It didn't work out. And then he kind of moved up because Arthur Blank, the owner, liked him. And so, you know, they have Fontenot as their general manager and all that. So I just think Mickey Loomis has to have a different role with the Saints. Now you got to check your ego at the door. I don't know. Everybody has an ego, especially if you're at this level. And I think Mickey Loomis, deep down, we got to give him credit. He was the one that did hire Sean Payton, you know, when you think about it. And then Drew Brees came on board. But I think Mickey Loomis would want to win to validate himself more without Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Well, that ain't happening. But to say Mickey Loomis would be run out of town, that's not going to happen. And Mr. Benson trusts Mickey Loomis, and Ms. Gale is going to honor what Mr. Tom Benson wanted to do. So that's why you look at, like, chain of command, was Ms. Gale Benson, Dennis Lauscher, who had Mr. Benson trust him a lot. He's the one who's going to pick the future owner. And then you got Mickey Loomis and Greg Bensel. All of them, they were the loyalty to Mr. Benson, and he honored that. And that part of the Saints organization. But I think that's why to hire from within right now, no. You need to blow that up. You need some outside influence that might not make you feel easy, but so what? You got to put your big boy pants on. It's professional football. And you might have a different role. And it's not necessarily your baby, the team. Because you can't go four straight seasons not being in the postseason. And look where Tampa Bay is post-Tom Brady and where they're at. Oh, Tampa Bay's going to go down, Tom Brady left. I don't think that's happening. So, Captain, like you said, not that you got to run Mickey Loomis out of town, but a general manager has to be able to come here from the outside who Mickey cannot control. Just give Mickey Loomis a different role. And he can still be part of our organization. Go to the owners' meetings, get a hobnob with all the folks who are running the league and all that. Like, okay, you look like McKay with the Falcons. He don't tell Fontenot what to do. And, you know, they got Fontenot from the Saints.
Right.
Now, the Falcons got to win. The Falcons ain't done jack in a while. The Falcons and Fontenot, they hoping they win. They all might be gone, too, with Arthur Blank. Hey, listen, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. And when a coach comes in, a coach that you want to hire, sometimes they might have the general manager that they want, you know, who I'm comfortable with. Not like, oh, well, I'm going to be the general manager. Are you comfortable with me? No. No. You had your chance. You had your day in the sun, and it was a great day. Anytime over a dozen years in the NFL, that's like an eternity. Think about the success since 2006. But what have you done for me lately? No. And then the bottom line is you want to get people excited about being in the dome, and they got to think they're supporting a winning product, a playoff product. You have to be in the hunt. Now, think about this right now. Do you think, like, who do you think realistically, like, could win the Super Bowl? Do you think whoever wins the NFC South, whether it's Atlanta or Tampa Bay, they ain't winning nothing?
Well, one and done.
We don't put them on the level of the Eagles, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings. Look how the 49ers have fallen by the wayside. Whoever's going to win the NFC West. But they're in the hunt. You know, you got to be in the hunt. That's how you throw a bone to the fans and you give them hope. Well, right now we have no hope. What hope do we have? And you can't say injuries. Everybody got injuries. Look at the Lions. Everybody on defense is hurt for them. What are you talking about? You can't use that as an excuse.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Coming back with more of your calls right after this. So stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Ciroc Point After. The Saints falling on Monday Night Football 34-0 to the Green Bay Packers. And unbelievable, folks, to think about the fact that there has not been a shutout in the NFL this year until tonight. And the Saints were unfortunately on the bad end of that statistic for
well,
the evening.
And you know, Steve, because you know, always like, okay, in the history of Saints-Packers, and we had the lead, but not anymore. But it's 50-50. Since Hurricane Katrina, we played Green Bay 10 times. It's now 5-5. You know, we were up 5-4, but now it's 5-5. The Packers lead overall 19-10. You know, we played them 29 times. We've won 10 times. When I was playing, the Packers were sorry. No, they were not very good. And then Brett Favre, remember he came from Atlanta and all that, and that's when they, mid to late 90s.
So who was their QB when you were playing?
They had, let me see, remember his son might have played Whitehurst from Clemson, played David Whitehurst.
Okay.
And there was another one I can't even think of. Maybe it was a Wisconsin quarterback. And they had Magic Man.
Remember Mikowski.
Don Mikowski, University of Virginia. Yeah, Magic Man. So, but when you look at it, this is why also changes need to be made. And Hector, get ready, we're coming to you. The last three seasons. Okay, that's a big enough sample size, right?
Yeah.
And don't you have to, you got to win the games you should win, but don't you have to beat winning teams if you're a winning team? The last three seasons, the Saints are 4-19 against team with winning records. Boom. Okay, think
Mic
about
drop
that.
Right there.
The last three seasons, the Saints are 4-19 versus teams against teams with winning records.
Not even 500.
What? Steve, 4-19. That's like, what? No, we were like hanging out with the Giants and the Raiders and all that—that's terrible. If you're trying to beat somebody who's relevant, yeah. So what if we beat the Raiders come Sunday? We should beat them. We beat the Giants. So what? The Giants are sorry. When you look at it, it could be like, who's a bad team, different season, and all that. But I'm talking about teams with winning records, and a winning record could be you barely over 500. You may be one game over 500, but you look at teams with winning records. The last three seasons, the Saints are 4-19. So, the Packers had a winning record, right? They relevant. What happened?
Lost.
We got freaking shut out. No, just look. The only team we beat this year with a winning record, and it's not like nothing to write home about, is Atlanta. Look how they're struggling. No, any other team with a winning record, we don't win. And the games we've won. So, you know, Derek Carr, you know one thing, if they keep you and you back next year, which I think he will be, one last hurrah, beat teams with winning records and make the Saints relevant.
You mentioned going to Hector on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You are up, my man, Hector in New Orleans. What you got for us this evening?
Hey, guys, early Merry Christmas to you and your families. So I'm calling all the way from Ecuador, South America, visiting my wife's family.
That is awesome. So what's the weather like in Hector in Ecuador? That's what I'm always intrigued. Is it like cold? Are you in the mountains in Ecuador or what?
No, I'm more on the coast, and it's more like New Orleans weather in September, October.
Oh, okay, so tropical, it could be.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah, that's a fine place, Ecuador. A lot of people, you know, expats and all, a lot of them. I actually have a sister-in-law, I think, has a house there in Ecuador.
Oh, yeah, there's a huge expat community here for sure. But, you know, Bobby, today's my birthday. I was hoping at least the Saints would be competitive. I was able to catch the game. It's kind of hard explaining, you know, in Spanish to your in-laws why we are that bad. It's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. And, you know, the difference between the haves and the have-nots, and I don't think Sean Payton gets enough credit for this.
Right.
For some reason, Sean Payton, you know, we had injuries back then during our glory years.
Yes.
But Sean Payton always had a knack for finding the next guy up. That's what we're missing. We never had that since Drew Brees left. I think the rebuilding should have started when Drew Brees left in Sean Payton's final year to prepare for life after Sean Payton. I just think we missed that boat and we kicked the can.
What has to happen now, Hector? Don't you think it has to happen now? There's no one can say, absolutely, like, oh, no, we just got to tweak this or that. Hell no. No, it is now. No, it's a rude awakening. We are there. Now, it might be a day late and a dollar short, but we got to do it now.
You can't kick the can anymore. You
right.
Got to pick up the can, throw it in the garbage, and then start over. No matter how that works out.
Yeah, no matter how it works out, you might might be, oh, we have to suffer. Now, will the fans be loyal? If I can look at my crystal ball, Hector, and I don't know, he hasn't even played yet at Texas. This would be a movie. I said this, I think, maybe last week, Steve and Hector, that, you know, we give the fans hope, not necessarily he's a messiah, but like Arch Manning, because it's Archie's grandson. Now, he's not even playing yet at Texas. He played a couple of games, but let's say he would play and excel and the stars were aligned, how the Chiefs landed Pat Mahomes, that all of a sudden the Saints can land Arch Manning. And then you want to sell out season tickets and you want the dome full because the expectations would be there. Not that he would be the magic man or whatever, but there would be hope. But right now, the fans don't have hope. You got to give the fans something to cheer for. The New Orleans Saints fans, male or female, we got the smartest female football fans in Louisiana. And I've been in Michigan, California, Georgia. I've been all over the country. There's no female football fans like there are in Louisiana that knows football. Their husbands might be going deer hunting, whatever. They say, "Y'all, you can go hunting. Go ahead. I'm hanging out with the girls. We're watching the Saints. They're watching football, and they know football." So I'm telling you right now, you got to give those fans hope. They want to be in that number. But you can't try to pull the wool over their eye. We'll be too smart. And once you win a Super Bowl and what Drew Brees and Sean Payton and all establish, there's no going back. It's unacceptable, and you don't need to accept that. You know, oh, no, it's just there to have a good time. No, those days are over. We want to go to have a good time, and we want to win. No, it's a difference, having a good time and win, having a good time and lose. No, if you're never going to win, yeah, we just go, it's a different party and all that. But once you taste victory, that's what you want, and then I'll support the product.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. We'll be right back with more of your calls right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back on the Ciroc Point After. Remember, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations after tonight's game, $32,720. Thank you, Venture Global. Getting right back into our Oakland heart. Jewelers talking text line. Got a bunch of folks that want to sound off. Steve in Monterey, you are next up here on the Ciroc Point After. What you got, Steve?
Hey, guys. Is it true that Sean Payton, before he chose the Broncos, he wanted to come back, but Mickey Loomis said no?
No, Dennis Allen? No, hell no.
That's what Jeff Duncan reported.
No, you have to show me that report. That exactly what you just said? That Sean Payton wanted to come back, and then Mickey didn't want him to come back. No, Mickey and Sean hang out in the offseason and all that. No, and then Mickey would want Steve. Mickey would want to win without Sean. It's like almost like the brothers wanting to outdo your brother. So I'm telling you, there's not. Believe you me, Sean Payton, it just the proof's in the pudding what he's done with Denver. And how he's turning that program around. Now he's getting paid big monies from the wall. He got that Walmart money now.
We need Zach Streif, man. That's our next head coach right there, Zach Streif. He'll turn the whole franchise around.
Well, would you take Zach Streif over Vrabel? Well, then you're the only one. If you look at, like, truly who's evaluating talent, Zach Streif don't have enough skins in the wall now to be a head coach. Now, you might say it only takes one time. Now it takes one time, but listen, I love Zach Streif. I mean, Zach Streif is doing the radio. He's part of our brothers here at WWL. But no, you would not go with Zach Streif as the next Saints head coach. That's still in-house. We don't need no damn Saints connection. How about you shake it up and get somebody? Steve Vrabel, what's the Saints connection he has? None.
Right.
But he's a Super Bowl winner. And you know what he did? Oh, Bobby Woody, he ain't won no Super Bowl, but he made the Tennessee Titans relevant. Then they had the number one seed. You might say, well, they choked. But they had the number one seed. They got there. Look what he did with the Titans. Watch how many teams going to want Vrabel. Very similar to Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Lions, and that kind of attitude. He looks like he still could play. Now, you might say, oh, he could be the next coach for the Saints, but he'll have other opportunities. There's going to be 6-7 openings is that way every year. So I don't know. You can call in who you want to be the next head coach and all. Now, Coach Rizzi, he honestly have a chance. He'd have had to not go undefeated, but he'd have to maybe have one loss. And it depends how you lose. Losing like this? No. The team has played hard for Coach Rizzi. But it shows you we're not where we need to be. And Coach, you know what I love about Coach Rizzi? And if you truly humble yourself, everybody wants to be the man, wants to be the head coach. But if you want to make a great living for yourself and your family, now you might have to move. But Coach Rizzi can coach in the NFL for 30 years. Think about that lifestyle when you get paid. I mean, I don't feel sorry for Coach Rizzi. He'll be all right. He's a good man. He's a great man. You don't have to necessarily be a head coach. Look at Vic Fangio. He didn't work out as a head coach. And then all of a sudden, right place, right time, he goes to Miami. Oh, we don't like how you're running our defense. He goes to the Eagles. He's running the defense right, except maybe when he played Jane Daniels and Washington. But you know, it's an ebb and flow. You got to handle the adversity and all that. I look at Wade Phillips and all when he was defensive coordinator in different places. No, listen, if you could have the capability of being an NFL coach and you last 20, 30 years, man, you bless. That's like, and you love football and you love coaching. I mean, you couldn't have it better. Not everybody's made out to be a head coach, but you can make a great living and provide for your family. Unbelievable. And so that's why I look at Coach Rizzi. Okay, it didn't work out with the Saints, but so what? That doesn't mean he can't coach special teams at the highest level. Amen.
Rolling on here on the Ciroc Point After. Ken, Hollywood, Anthony, Mike, Matt, stay put. We are getting to your calls. Stay tuned right after this. We'll be back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints fall 34-0 in Green Bay on Monday Night Football. The only shutout in the NFL this season. Got plenty of calls to get to on the Ciroc Point After. Hollywood and Thibodeau, you are up next. How's it going, Hollywood?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood. Are you home for the holidays, or are you working the late shift, or what? Where are you at right now?
I'm back in Thibodaux, and I got good news for you. It's my birthday today.
Oh, well, happy birthday. Hollywood. You know what? At least it's not on Christmas Day, because I know if it was on Christmas Day, your mom and dad would probably only give you one present instead of two. So now they can give you a present today, and then you get one on Christmas.
No present from the Saints.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get one present anyway because I'm old. When you get old, hey, we get one.
You get one.
But Bobby, getting to the Saints, that was a garbage performance.
Garbage.
Our defense is garbage. Our offense is garbage. Hey, on the goal line, when Green Bay scores every time, it looks like the Saints gave up. Looks like they were putting a good fight on the goal line against
Amen. We're kind of just gone with the flow. That was a business decision. They weren't hitting nobody. And Badger and all, I'm not, I guess I called them out. we were not overly aggressive in the trenches. Can you, bow up your neck and then, make a stop? No, we were getting, a wave. We were getting pushed into the end zone. We weren't stopping nobody. I think at times you could see the team still playing hard, but other times, not so much. You know, you can look at, two or three games. It's like, do we know it's tackle football instead of pull the flag or two-hand touch? Steve, we were talking about this. Was it Triplett? Mike Triplett, follows the Saints.
New Orleans football, right?
Yeah, New Orleans football. What was the three? It was this game, the Tampa Bay game, and it was one other. The poor tackling, when we the number of missed tackles.
The Kansas City game.
Yeah, okay, the Chiefs game, the Tampa Bay game. I mean, Tampa Bay game, was the second half was horrendous. And then this game is do we want to tackle at times?
I think the Denver game, too.
Yeah, then maybe it's four.
It continues, I'm just thinking of that one, too.
It continues to grow. Hollywood, there's nothing to write home about. It's not I didn't expect us to be the Packers. But I know you got to score. You have to score, or you can make it interesting. That game in the 21st century, or I might say, I don't know, I was in here early with Haslett and what happened. Let's say, he had the lunch bunch and all. He had some good games that began the turn of the century. But let's say since Katrina, not the 2005 season, but since 2006 to now, and this game, I don't know, that might have been the most disappointing game and disinterested game, even though you love the Saints, that I've witnessed. I mean, it was literally, truly that bad. It was from the get-go. And what I mean from the get-go, Hollywood, and when you look at, you can go back and forth. I mean, offense, defense, and all, you're forcing a three and out, whatever. The Packers on third down in the first quarter, they were 4 or 5, having sustained drives. Okay, they go 10 plays, 63 yards, we're losing 7-0. And then...
that next drive that they had for the TD was ridiculous.
Okay, then they go 17 plays, 96 yards, eat up basically 9 minutes of the clock. Now it's 14-0, and then we go 3-and-out.
And it felt like 40-0 then.
No, it was the Saints, we ain't got no chance this game. The way they have been flowing, what it's going. No, that was the most disheartening, discouraging games that when you say Hollywood, there's hope for the future. Or we just need to get this player or that player. And that's why Hollywood and all the Hoodad Nation out there. Well, whether we pick an 8th, 9th, or 10th, who are we going to draft? We how about we just draft the best player that's going to contribute from the get-go? I don't care if it's on offense and defense. Not a running back. Alvin Kamara got still something left in the tank. And I think we could, without going that high, to running back. But any other position, hell yeah. They can contribute from the get-go, not develop them 2 or 3 years and all that. No. And I'm not talking about drafting someone high and – the one guy, when I'm looking at Peyton Turner. Oh, Peyton Turner's been playing as of late. He ain't done jack. He had one tackle. He had one assisted tackle, not even a solo tackle. Well, what has Peyton Turner done? Okay, he's not hurt, but he's not making plays. And that, you got to hit on the draft. And right now we have not seen that Hollywood as of late.
Heading to break here on the Ciroc Point After. First, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Time to get more of those ads in. We'll step away and be back with more of the Ciroc Point After right after this. Getting right back into our phone lines here on the Ciroc Point After. Anthony and Hammond, you are up next. What's up tonight, Anthony?
Oh, Merry Christmas, guys. I appreciate y'all being here tonight.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I tell you, ever since we go back to Sean Payton leaving and we got Dennis Allen, and I hadn't seen a team that played with any aggression on the field. I know a lot of this game, 80% of it, is played in between in your head. And you could have all the physical attributes in the world, but I don't see guys that's just made up their mind and say, hey, I'm going to whip the guy on the other side of me. I see guys that are just saying, I'm going to play and go through the motions and get whipped. I mean, all 53 at the same time. Because the score is zero. I mean, zero? I mean, we could have just walked through the quarter and picked 53 guys and put them on the plane tonight, and they would have got zero.
Yeah. You got to score. I mean, and listen, the way the rules are skewed today, they want you to score. It's in favor of the offense, how the defense can be as handsy as far as, Anthony, when you think about that, Steve, you know what's crazy? And, this is Johnny Unitas days. This ain't before me. You know, a receiver could be running downfield, and if the ball went in the air, you can knock the crap out of him. Now, think about that. So they want the receivers. Now, the skill set, obviously, you train year-round is better. But at times, Anthony, I don't know. I think I agree with you. Sometimes I feel the players, they might be more aggressive on certain plays without all the plays. Sometimes you can see them going through the motions because you know their ability. And you can say, look, I've seen him play way more aggressive on other plays than he is on that play. No, and you can observe that because technology and how you can actually visualize it. You're right, Anthony. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, I'm pushing for. I'm a Vrabel guy, Vrabel for the coach. I hope he is one of the ones that's considered because I think he'll bring that attitude back to this team and that motivation that those guys need to play the game right between the ears first.
Well, and the players would respect him, like the Lions respect Dan Campbell, because they've been there, done that. And now the only thing is, Saints fans might have heard this, and I'm a big fan of his, but not with the Saints. That being Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, if you look, that dude played 14 years from Texas A&M. No, he gets on the players. He is, like, I'll tell you what he has to deal with right now with the Lions defense, you got to give him a lot of credit with all the injuries. But I'm telling you, Aaron Glenn and Dennis Allen, they're running the same thing on defense. So I think we need much more of a change. And Aaron Glenn, he can end up, the Lions win the Super Bowl and he ends up somewhere else. Because you can have defensive coaches become head coaches. Look at Todd Bowles.
And it's still part of that Sean Payton tree, too.
You look at McDermott and all that. You can have defensive coach become a head coach and all that, depending what route you want to go. But I think what Vrabel, what's sexy and attractive about him, I mean, who would be like a clone of him? Because they both played and respected. And they're not politically correct, or they ain't woke. They tell you how it really is. Dan Campbell, and they could tell you how it is. This is freaking football. Now, society might not be able to handle it, but I'm going to tell you what you have to freaking do. And that's why that kind of coach going to have different opportunities. I don't know if it's not only going to be with the Saints, Anthony. So that's why I think he's outstanding. But he might have other choices. You know who's the most dysfunctional team right now? And I think the coach can make all the difference in the world. Now, I think the quarterback got a ways to go because now he's been humbled, that being Caleb Williams and the Bears. That, you know what the Bears screwed up? Everybody think, look all these skilled people we got. We got all these receivers. How about you get your offensive line right? Well, why are the Lions winning over the Bears? Because their offensive
start
line.
Up front.
Yes, they start up front. They might be the best offensive line in the NFL. Oh, get all these weapons. DJ Moore, Keelan Allen. Oh, look at all that. Well, what has that worked out? Oh, let Caleb Williams just run all around. I'm telling you, paint your fingernails. Let me just go with that. No, I'm telling you. So you look at opportunities where you could be. But think about this. Two teams that are so dysfunctional right now, I don't know if you want to be a part of that. But if you are a part of that and you win, just think of the Jets the next time they'd win a Super Bowl or the Bears. Come on. You could talk about Chicago. You could talk about the Cubs and Michael Jordan, the Bulls, and all that. The Blackhawks ain't nothing like the Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you. You could go now, modern-day football, and win with the Bears. Come on. Mike Ditka won't have anything on you. And how much they appreciate Ditka. You're talking about the mid-'80s. Think about that. No, so that's why that job could still be attractive. Now they got these old owners, they're all around 100. I think that the woman, McCloskey, whatever her name is, she's like about 100 or something. But
yeah, my biggest problem with Vrabel is obviously there's going to be open jobs everywhere, and there's going to be other teams interested too.
Oh, but without a doubt. And then who wants to go with Woody and the Jets? I mean, but I don't know, his kids are like evaluating on Madden. I mean, who are we going to pick and all that? And they're like, no, that's dysfunctional. That is dysfunctional. But all I'm saying, from a fan base, if you can win with the Jets or Bears, they'll build a statue of you.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Saints fall 34-0 on Monday Night Football to the Packers. We'll be back with more of the Ciroc Point After, though, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Celebrate life responsibly. Now it's time for What's Bugging Bobby about today's 34-0 shutout, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Cajun Cannon, well, what's bugging you?
Well, it's been bugging me, this game, the Raiders game, or Tampa Bay. Now, it could really be bugging me, the Tampa Bay game. And I'm talking about, and I don't think it's going to happen, can we stop the run?
I haven't done it all year.
No, well, we have not done this.
Against the Chargers, I think they did a decent job.
Yeah, but when you look at it, and Steve, I have to...
And the Browns.
Yeah, you can go on and on, like, and all that, but... when I look at, like, stopping the run, and I'm going to get this right quick, and then if you look at it, they ran the ball 39 times. They averaged 4.8 yards a carry, 188 yards rushing. You know the Packers coming in, they're going to come in running the ball, and they're going to leave running the ball. And we gave up 4.9 yards a carry. So when you round that off, that's basically 5 yards a carry. Like I said, 4.9 for the season, 4.8 today. Now, going forward, when you look at the last game of the season, not the Raiders, but the last game, you know, as the fourth best rush, and ironically, coming into this weekend, they were exactly the same, fourth best in the NFL. Tampa Bay and Green Bay average 144.4 yards a game. And when all said and done, if you look at the Packers, they got 188. So I don't know, take the over. Are we going to play? I don't know, though. You know, you can bet over and under.
Sure.
And Tampa Bay averaged 144 yards rushing. I would take the over with that because the Saints have not been able to stop the run. And when you look at that, both the Packers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers averaging 144.4 and end up getting 188 today, where we're going to have to close out the season against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and see if we could stop the run. So when I look at that, yeah, that's a challenge to end the season. So that'll be interesting. Another thing that's bugging me, I guess, you know, I can do a 2-for-1, is that I would have never thought we'd go backwards. I thought we would build upon this as the turnover margin. I want to say at best we got to +4, and that was at the beginning of the season. And That's discouraging because I know they've emphasized that in practice and all that, and we were +11 last year.
It's dried up of late.
Yes. We were -2 for the game. We -1 for the season. So that is something that I think the way the Saints are structured, and a lot of teams, that you have to win the turnover battle or and just being on the plus side, protect the football, and take it away, or you're not going to end up winning. And that, to me, is discouraging that right now we are -1 for the season and -2 for the game. And I have to find it somewhere in my notes. I'm looking for it. And it was somewhere like we were awesome at the beginning of the year. But then as of late, even Coach Rizzi acknowledged this, that we have not been able to take the football. We just have not gotten the interceptions. It wasn't so much the forced fumbles. It was more we were picking off the football at the beginning of the year, and we haven't done that as of late. So that's really was bugging me, how we're not winning the turnover margin, we're not good enough, and we still can't stop the run.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. When we get back, taking more of your calls, so stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Going to get back into all your calls. First, the Cajun Cannon wants to read something. What you got for us?
Yeah, Steve, I was talking about what was bugging me, and that, I thought I had it right here. And then, I know I have it. Hold on, right here. I think I got it right here. Yeah, this here it is. Talk about dome field, home field advantage. Can you protect the football, take it away? We all talked about earlier Matt LaFleur. He's now 25-1 at home when they win the turnover battle. And I talked about that was bugging me how we cannot build upon us being +4 in that turnover margin. The problem is that the Saints have forced just 3 turnovers now in their last 8 games. Now think about that. You got to be opportunistic. You got to take away the damn football, whether you punch in and out, whether you intercept it. Well, Bobby, maybe that's, the team can't do that. Well, they have to. They did it last year. We were +11. So you look at it, we now forced just 3 turnovers in the last 8 games after recording 13 takeaways in the first 7. So now the first 7 games, you know how we got +4? The first 7 games, we had 13 takeaways. The last 8 games, we have 3. Well, you want to know the record and where we're at? That speaks volumes.
Lack of takeaways.
I can tell you, and whether it's Coach Rizzi, Coach Allen, whoever's coaching, they look at that, that has to change. And it's common sense. It just does. Because it's pros versus pros and the parity and all that. Whether you Peanut Tillman, the peanut punch, and you punch it out and you're landing on it, you're coming up with the ball, or you're protecting it as a quarterback and you're not turning it over. I still don't know how Spencer Rattler had that fumble. I don't know. He's holding the ball. Maybe it slipped. It looks like he's parting the Red Sea, and then he drops it. I'm telling you, that's going to be on bloopers. I don't know how it cannot be. Everything's filmed and everything. You got everything. I don't know how that cannot be on bloopers. The same thing along the lines with Colin Saunders. Bats the ball up. He could have 2 interceptions this year. He had an interception. He's from St. Louis.
And that was him making that play. Like you said,
yes.
Picking up and going to make the pick.
And Alante Taylor screwed it up for him. Think about that. He's going back home to St. Louis. Well, now Kansas City, prime time. He gets the interception in the end zone against Pat Mahomes. What? He's rumbling and stumbling. He's going. Then all of a sudden, he's not playing prime time Monday night. Bats the ball up, pass defending, he's getting intercepted. Then Alante Taylor knocks it out. No, they're saying that's 2 blooper plays right now. They probably put that on NFL Network. Look at this play. Because fans like to watch that kind of stuff. Like, what the hell just happened? I'm telling you, I have never seen a quarterback what Spencer Rattler did. He parted the Red Sea, spread his hands out, then the ball just falls. I think it probably slipped. Maybe he was.
Yeah, it looked like it slipped out.
Trying to move out, but the way it looked like, no, it was just like, what the hell just happened? And Steve, I like this text before we go to the phone line, and this is a good text. This is from, 67-7. I gotta get my glasses. Hold on.
Yeah, you got it. 67-77.
Okay, 67-77. Bobby, teach the rattlesnake, that being Rattler, some touch. Why throw the ball in Mach 5 when the guy is right in front of you? Hello?
Poor Jordan Mims.
Okay. Yes. As a quarterback, listen, if you throw it like the one that he completed to Foster Moreau, it was unbelievable. You got to throw it.
Sure.
No, it's Mach 5. That thing's
humming in there. You got to have some mustard on it.
Yeah, but that's 15, 20 yards down the field, whatever. If the back's right in front of you, to me, that's one thing. Spencer Rattler can work on the offseason. You want to be a pro, you got to have touch. It's not like you can't freak out and you're so jacked up that you're throwing it 100 miles an hour. You can't throw a fastball. The running back's right on top of you. Now, the last one, I think he kind of took speed off of it, and then Jordan Mims still dropped it. But that was like, for sure, two if not three. It was like, man, the dude's right on the back's right. It's a dump down, check down. They're right in front of you. You can't be throwing a fastball. You wanted to catch the ball and keep running. You know, that's one thing I always did. I threw a very catchable ball, whether the receiver catch it or was intercepted. No, I can tell you, I throw such a catchable ball that the receiver was going to catch it and the DB would never drop a pick because it was very catchable. You got to be able to, throw that where you have to know the distance. It does make a difference. Where it's not like you don't throw the same ball at 5 yards past the line of scrimmage as you would 20, 25 yards.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Saints falling 34-0 to the Green Bay Packers. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, getting into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line right away. Mike in Mid-City, you're up. What you got, Mike?
Hey, man, how y'all doing, man?
All right, Mike, what you got?
Hey, first thing I want to say, I really love the Saints. I've loved the Saints since I was 10 years old. I'm 66.
Amen.
But Bobby, man, we got to do something with making rumors. I know what you're gonna say about it, but we got a clean house, bro.
How about this, Mike? How about we clean house and Mickey could still be maybe a different role in the organization? And that you have an outsider, nothing to do with the Saints, that come in and he's running the show. Man, you think that can happen or what?
Man, he has messed up so bad. Man, I was watching the Eagles game the other day, man, and I was watching that linebacker that they have that we let go.
Oh, yeah, from Wisconsin.
Zach Bond.
Hey, how about Caden Ellis? He's kicking ass with the Falcons.
Caden Ellis with the Falcons. And I have to disagree with you with this Ohio State linebacker.
D. Werner.
He makes too many tackles. All his tackles is after contact, Bobby. He get a lot of tackles, but they're after contact.
Mike, that's a great point. That's a great point you make. It's another one. Now he hurt his shoulder. He's hurt. Azzalone. Angeloni from Florida Gators came to the Saints, now with Detroit, but he's hurt.
But
Mike, when you think about it, now that you say it, now I know it's hindsight, but now help me out, Who That Nation, and Steve and Charlie and Mike, you can help me out. And I would guess right now, just brainstorming, Pete Werner was probably drafted higher than Caden Ellis or Zach Bond. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah.
The point I'm making is because it makes a difference. Look at Marcus Davenport, who was drafted higher.
They missed on him.
Look at Payne Turner. Payne Turner drafted higher. And who's amongst the best?
That's not a miss.
Okay, now who's amongst the best who they drafted later and they let go with the Bengals? The pass rusher.
Trey Hendrickson.
T-Rex. Okay, look at Trey Hendrickson. So they almost want these younger cats to work out just because they were drafted higher, whether it be Pete Werner, Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner, versus guys that have left, like Caden Ellis with the Falcons, Zach Bond with the Eagles, and how you utilize them. Now, Azzalone, I give him a pass. Azzalone was always hurt, his shoulder. And then when you think about Dan Campbell trusted him and Aaron Glenn to be starting a linebacker for the Lions. So, sometimes the decisions, Mike, that they have made is like, well, you had him in the building. How the hell you screwed that up? No, and it's based on a lot of times You might say, oh, we don't care where you were drafted. That track record right there. Just look at those linebackers and those edge rushers and what they've done with the Saints or with other teams. I don't know. That's not an opinion. That's what's actually happened. Now, I know you might say, well, it's hindsight. Well, why didn't you develop Zach Bond and you would want to keep him? The Eagles, aren't they impressed with him? Aren't the Falcons impressed with Caden Ellis? And then you're going to go with Pete Werner? Why is Pete Werner so much better than Caden Ellis or Zach Bond? Just because you drafted him higher? Why is Marcus Davenport and Peyton Turner better than Trey Henderson? Just because you drafted him in the they were drafted in the first round and he wasn't? Hello? Come on. I don't know, Mike. I'm kind of on the same wavelength as you.
Thanks for the call, Mike. We're taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. We'll be back with even more, so stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Empty backfield for Rattler on their own 39. Packers bring three. Throws it across the middle. Brought down as Foster Moreau goes high to get it and brings it down into Packer territory. And that, 21 for Foster, who Rattler talked about this week, said he's just Mr. Clutch.
Back here on the Ciroc Point After, and time for our Ciroc Toast to the Saints Player of the Game. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka, and let's toast to tight end Foster Moreau.
Yeah, no, this is a hard choice. I was like, man, nobody should win Player of the Game. But I think Foster Moreau, he's been steady with the Saints. Looking at it, he was targeted three times. He had two catches. He had that 21 long gain of 21 yards. That play was truly the best of the best. Now, you got to do that maybe a handful of times. I still don't know. I think Spencer Allen just said, screw it, I'm throwing it. But Foster Moreau was able to come down with that ball. Like I said, ended up having two catches, total 33 yards. Normally, you would not get recognition. But the reason why I brought this up, because I think he's built upon and been a good team leader. Now, I don't know how the players are going to respond. But Foster Moreau, I think Juwan Johnson, if you look, he ended up having two targets, two catches. He had 27 yards, Foster Moreau 33. But when I look at Foster Moreau, depending who's the quarterback, now being Spencer Rattler, that if you look at Moreau, modest numbers coming into the game. He had 23 receptions, 302 yards, four touchdowns. I look at the Saints quarterbacks. They have 144 passer rating when targeting Foster Moreau, including when Spencer Rattler threw it to Foster Moreau. He had a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. Now, he was 8 for 8, 131 yards, and a touchdown. So if you add that 8 for 8, so now he's what?
10 of 11.
So about 106-something yards. So it's just a comfort factor in Foster Moreau. And I think he's a good leader on the team. I think a lot like Derek Carr, he'll want to play against the Raiders and show up and show out. Because it's just, who you have a relationship with. You know, when you play and you go from team to team, no matter, you play long enough, that could occur. So I think Foster Moreau and Derek Carr, they both would want to have a big-time game against the Raiders. Now, will Derek Carr play? I don't know. I think he'd want to play, and he could force himself to play. You might say, well, his hand's not quite ready. I don't know. It's not his throwing hand, and he's getting paid the big bucks. What are we saving him for? We saving him for next year or something? No, I think Coach Rizzi would want to win at home against the Raiders. And I think Derek Carr would want to play. You see him active on the sideline during the game. They would show his pictures. So I think he's fine, that concussion thing. He's all right with that. But now, can they get some kind of fixture or cast on his hand so he could take a snap, whether it be under the center or a shotgun? And I think Derek Carr, I think that's why they didn't put him on IR, because they thought he would be available to play maybe, if not the Raiders game, Tampa Bay game, at Tampa to close out the season. But I think it's a good opportunity for Derek Carr to play against his old team in the Raiders in the Superdome come Sunday.
Going back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Cajun Cannon, going to check in with Matt in Shreveport. What's going on tonight, Matt?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
All right, Matt. What you got, man?
Well, man, it's hard for me to have grace and mercy tonight, but I know I'm supposed to. But I just... By the way, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
I'm going to try to have grace and mercy the same way I want the good Lord to have it for me tomorrow and every day I wake up. But this is hard to watch, guys. The line of scrimmage on the offensive and defensive side of the football is real appalling to me with the lack of physicality.
Amen.
The point of contact, you know, you talk about how the run defense being so bad. Well, we can't make a tackle in open field. We don't ever push a receiver falls forward for 3 yards. The running back falls forward for 3 yards. I mean, we don't ever make a...
Matt, you're making a great point. I mean, when you think about
it...
And it's old school. Can you run the football or can you stop the run? If you'd have just told me this, I'd say, well, I don't care how cold it is, but it doesn't look like we control in the trenches. We gave up 4.8 yards a carry, so that's 5 yards a carry, and we averaged 3.4. You might not think that's monumental in football. Can you run the football? Can you stop the run? Well, they averaged 4.8. We were at 3.4. No, we need to flip that. How many times you hear me say we need to flip that? No, we need to average 4.8 and give up 3.4. There's too many games, Matt, too many occasions where it's not in our favor. Where we averaging 3.4 and giving up 4.8. That you want to know why our record is the way it is and all? You get turnovers and all that. But that one thing, even though the rules have changed, and it's a pass-happy league at times, that look at the top teams. What are they still doing?
Running
the ball. Look at the Lions. Look at Derrick Henry and the Ravens and all. I'm telling you, you have a chance. Now, you need to be able to make big plays in the passing game, Matt, but think about this. You will be in the hunt. I guarantee if you can run the ball and stop the run, you'll have a chance.
You control the clock.
Yes, exactly. Control the tempo of the game.
Obviously, you guys are smarter at this than I am, but, you know, you can have all these cookie-cutter offenses and you can run all these little gimmick plays and schemes and everything you want to and all this, get the ball out of the quarterback's hand within 2 seconds and all that stuff. But, you know, the bottom line is if you are better at the point of contact than your opponent, you could take all with us cookie cutter, let's color this play up, let's color this play up here. You can stop all that by being more physical than your opponent. And the injuries, my God, I mean, our strength and conditioning coaches, I mean, either we're just snake-bitten or we just don't have a lot of good physical football players on the football field. I don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know. We've been snake bit with injuries, and you could say, it could be cyclical. It could be like next year we might, everybody's healthy. And one team that has not been healthy, Matt, the whole season, they couldn't even practice against us in early August, the damn 49ers. You want to talk about going from the expectations, the penthouse to the outhouse, look where the 49ers are at. You think we've been snake bit with injuries? Look at the 49ers. They couldn't even practice against us in training camp because they had so many people hurt. And you know Christian McCaffrey's tough, but look all the injuries they've had.
Came back, got hurt again.
Yes. And so you look at the NFC West, like all of a sudden the Rams are in the driver's seat and what's going to occur there. So, I don't know if it's like this a bad season of a bad luck. It seems like the Pelicans always have bad luck with injuries with the basketball team. But, going forward, that does make a difference. But then, okay, as unlucky as the 49ers have been and where they're at, okay, who was definitely the Super Bowl favorite in the NFC? And now maybe it could be the Eagles or the Vikings. Watch out for the Packers. Why are you questioning the Lions now? Because their defense got so beat up, right? Look at the injuries on defense. Oh, they're doing fine. They're scoring points. Look at Jared Goff. Look at the offensive line. But then all of a sudden, you can't be in a shootout. Because, you know, being a shootout-type game, it's very entertaining. You might win. You might not win. You know, it's all of a sudden. Oh, we
know that well from the Breeze years.
Yeah, we scored 38 points and we lost. What? What the hell the defense is doing? You should never lose that kind of game. But the Lions, all of a sudden, they haven't flown what's occurring. They didn't shootout type games, and that wasn't supposed to be the plan. But
we are winding things down here on the Ciroc Point After. Going to take more of your calls when we get back right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Before we continue on here on the Ciroc Point After, let us pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints fell hard on Monday Night Football, getting blanked 34-0 by the Green Bay Packers. They now sit 5-10 on the season. Going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, checking in with Jimmy in Gretna. Merry Christmas, Jimmy. What's going on?
Hey, y'all. Staying up late, wrapping presents. Bobby, thank you for giving my kids an autograph yesterday at Rouse's in Gretna. All right, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you have a well, Jimmy. You got two good looking daughters. I tell you what, it looks
I got the shotgun ready, brother. I'm wrapping it right now, brother. The shotgun. I gotta protect the kids.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to be that extreme.
Right, Bobby.
Yeah, you don't have to be that extreme.
Something right.
Yeah, you did. So they're very cute and very polite. Well-rounded. Very good.
Yeah, and look, listen, I'm sorry that they were eating all your food off that tray.
No, that's fine. You think I'm rich.
You think I'm rich, but they were stealing crackers off the table. But look, let me say this.
Oh, you're lucky. Bobby don't share his food, man.
Man, I tell you, because the kids are so cute, they got away with it.
Yeah, of course.
I know the show's almost over. Let me say this real quick. Spencer Rattler, four games. He's got to take a little mustard off those passes. You could tell he was running for his life. But let me say this. Look, there's a problem on both sides of Gerrard Street. The Pelicans, the Saints. I don't know if it's the medical staff or what's going on. Gail Benson, that night stuff going into 2025, New Year's resolution. No more misses a night, Gail Benson. Okay, I know Loomis and Buddy and all this stuff. The Buddy system. Something's got to change because the attendance is going to be down. I don't see where the Saints fan base is going to be all on board next year. If Derek Carr is the face, I'm sorry, we might have to pull a Kirk Cousins here. Whoa. He's a nice guy, but I'm just saying. Derek Carr is a big step above the other two guys. I get that,
right,
Bobby.
But that doesn't mean you're going to win anything. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean he's going to put butts in the seat. Right now, we're having a major drop. So,
well, Jimmy, you got to love that because the secondary market is going to be outstanding.
$5 tickets.
Listen, think about the secondary market for the Raiders game. I mean, you want family member, your neighbor, your friend want to be in that number. No, you could take him to not a preseason, but a real NFL game. That'll be interesting to see what's going to come Sunday. It's going to be here before you know it. So, that'll be interesting. Come 2025, and Jimmy, I'm sure, will call a number of times, a number of shows, and say, boy, look, you could take your family. Look at a secondary market. Bang for your buck. A great price to go see the Pels and the Saints.
Well, second guess will continue on Christmas Eve tomorrow. The Cajun Cannon, Mike Dettillier from 4 to 8 at the Silver Slipper Casino. Stop by, say hey to them, drop off some Christmas presents, or just tune in and make sure you call or text the show. I'm Steve Geller for Charlie Long. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Who Dat Nation.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who Dat, go Saints.
Ho, ho, ho.